15 minutes of football remain for these two teams. It'll all be over in 15 minutes because there will be no overtime in this one. 16-9, Wisconsin, Stevens Point in front of the Lutes. The Pointers have the ball on their own 16-yard line as we get set to start this fourth quarter. 15 minutes on the clock, and Kirk Baumgartner, the sophomore quarterback, comes up on a 2nd and 10. In motion, tweet from left to right. Back to pass, Baumgartner, blindside, Squires makes the tackle, and they're going to bring him down. Boy, they were trying to wrestle the ball away down to the 5-yard line, but it goes as a sack back to the 6. It's 3rd down and 20 coming up, and Baumgartner may just try to get some room for his punter as he's got 3rd and 20 staring him in the face, and he's deep in his own end with a touchdown lead.
Scott Squires came in from the backside and hit Baumgartner, then O'Donnell came in from the other side, tried to wrestle the ball away, and they never really did bring Baumgartner down, but the official finally blew the whistle on the play. And I think you're right, Trent. Baumgartner just wants to get some room for his punter, and because right now he'd be kicking out of his own end zone.
Well, he is in shotgun formation, standing on his own goal line. Watch for that flanker handoff. They've done that a lot today and with pretty good success. The Lute crowd fired up, as well as the Pointer. And Baumgartner to air it out. Deep down the sideline, he just overthrows everybody and lands at the 45-yard line of Wisconsin Stevens Point. The closest players were for the Lute, Craig Mathiason and Mike Cheney, as they had it well covered. And Baumgartner gets no more room for his punter. Dan Coyne is on the field. He'll be in his own end zone to punt it, and the Lutes are going to have good field position with 14:07 to play in the fourth.
Baumgartner didn't even look hardly. He just sat and threw, and Atron Kenny wasn't even close to the ball. Maybe Baumgartner's thinking an interception's just as good as a punt, but you figure a big return on that type of play by the person who intercepted.
Lutes have had good success blocking punts, but they play for the return as Dantoin gets a high hanger. It takes Elston back to his own 50-yard line. He tries to cut it back against the grain. It's brought down behind where he took it at the 45-yard line. The Lutes will have it 1st and 10. So Elston actually loses yardage on the punt return, but the Lutes still with good field position from their own 45-yard line with 13 minutes and 56 seconds to play, and PLU offense comes back onto the field. The last time they had the ball on the Stevens Point 44-yard line, took it down to the 6, settled for a field goal of 25 yards. Now 13:56 to play, and they're a touchdown behind at 16-9. And Jeff Yarnell comes into the game and looks over the situation. He's got a tight flanker to the left side. That's Tom Napier. Luke's working off the right hash mark. Bomar over the ball at center. Handoff is to Dorsey. The senior carries it across the 45 to about the 47. A gain of a couple. It'll be 2nd down and 8 coming up. PLU football and KTAC is, of course, brought to you by Parkland Travel. And if you're going to travel over the holidays, call on the good people at Parkland Travel, where you can always find the lowest airfare available, located at 12816 Pacific Avenue. Parkland Travel, bringing you this 1987 NAIA Division II National Championship.
Quick look at the backs. Tom Napier, 6 carries, 26 yards. Eric Krebs, 7 carries, 29 yards. Pat Dorsey, 7 carries, 78 yards for the Lutes.
Of course, Dorsey got that big chunk of that on the 55-yard touchdown in the first quarter in the first possession. Here's Yarnell now on a play action. Keeps his halfbacks in there to block and looks over the middle. It's tipped in the air and incomplete at the 38-yard line. Nearly intercepted. He tried to go to Mike Welk over the middle, and almost Scott Nicolai had an interception as it fell to the turf. 13:07 to play, and now a big 3rd down and 8 play coming up for Jeff Yarnell and company.
Jeff Yarnell had plenty of time. His offensive line did a nice job making a nice pocket for him. Yarnell stood in there a long time. Give credit to the Pointers defensive secondary that time, making sure everybody was covered for that long of time. And Yarnell dodges a bullet right there with that ball being tipped.
13:07 to play. The crowd on each side now really firing up. Yarnell comes up to the line, working from the middle of the field, and he calls timeout. The Pointer crowd patting itself on the back, figuring it prompted that timeout by Yarnell. We'll take a break. 13:07 to play. Fourth quarter, Wisconsin Stevens Point, 16, PLU 9. 13:07 to play, fourth quarter. This is it, NAIA Division II National Final. PLU trailing Wisconsin Stevens Point 16-9. The Lutes have the ball on their own 47-yard line, and Jeff Yarnell called a timeout to talk to Frosty Westering about a 3rd down and 8 situation. The Lutes need to get down to the 45-yard line of Stevens Point, and the Pointer crowd down below waving the purple and gold pom-poms, trying to rile up the defense, and Yarnell, the poised senior for the Lutes, is back to pass. Sprint out to the left side, gets away from coverage. Steps up in the pocket, has to throw it, does, intercepted, 41-yard line. Yarnell threw an ill-advised pass. He tried to get Mark Miller. It's intercepted at the Stevens Point 41, and coming away with it was John Bouchard, the senior middle linebacker.
Yarnell rolling out to his left, got some good blocks on the backside by his offensive lineman to give him time, but Yarnell knew and just felt around him that his time was running out, and he had some room out in the flat, but not enough room that would really advise him to run the ball for the first down, although he should have just tucked it under and tried to get as much as he could. Instead, he tried to force it, tried to make something happen, and threw it into a crowd.
Miller was well covered. He was around three pointers at least. And it was Bouchard to make the interception. And now the pointers come up with 12:59 to play in the game. And Kirk Baumgartner in a standard formation. He hands it off to Barry Rose straight ahead. The halfback gets it about a four-yard gain near the 45-yard line before he is driven back with the Lutes defensively on that line. Guy Kovacs came up to help out along with Craig Mathiasen. But for the most part, the Lutes have really shuttled in people well on that defensive line and held pretty well defensively, as the score would indicate.
Give Paul Hoseth credit, the defensive coordinator, shuffling so many people in and out depending on the situation, and that takes a lot of coordination among the coaches and the players to make sure the right people are in there on the right situation.
Baumgartner now on a second down and six. This is a huge possession for the PLU defense. Tweet goes in motion left to right, and Baumgartner hands it off straight ahead. It's Keith Majors. He is brought down on a heap as Guy Kovacs again there to trip him up, and it's a gain of about 3 yards to the 46-yard line, maybe just a gain of a yard. It's going to be third down and a long four, as the pointers must get inside of PLU territory for a first down. So this is a big critical play here. If the pointers can keep this drive alive and move it into PLU territory, leading by a touchdown and time working off the clock, they're in a big, big advantage. But if the Lutes can hold, they can get the ball back and try to go for a tying score. Baumgartner comes up. Third down, 4 yards to go. In motion goes Prince. He's caught one big pass today. The Lutes are ready. Baumgartner gets the blitz, and O'Donnell brings him down. O'Donnell sacks him back at the 38-yard line. And Baumgartner's been handled today. Of course, he came in with those great passing statistics, but he just got pummeled. You could see that, Steve, the Lute heat was coming up the middle and from the sides, and O'Donnell there, the first one to hit him.
It was Elston coming right up the middle along with Scott Squires adding the pressure, and then O'Donnell, that opened things up on the outside, and he laid one on Baumgartner.
From his own 25-yard line, Dan Dantoin is on. The Lutes have two deep to receive the punt. The kick by Dantoin is away, and it is a beauty. Hanging high punt. Elston calls fair catch on his own 19-yard line. Beautiful punt by Dantoin with 10:58 to play in the game, and the Lutes have a first and 10 on their own 19-yard line. And interesting what the Lute defense has done. The last three possessions for Wisconsin Stevens Point, four plays, three plays, three plays, all resulting in punts. So the Lute defense has really cramped down after we talked about those long possessions the pointers had enjoyed early.
Craig Verhagen down on the field, injured player for Wisconsin Stevens Point, linebacker in on the special teams, just a freshman at 6'1", 215.
The crowd riveted to its seats right now because this one's coming down to the wire once again, as so many games this year for PLU have. The Lutes won the first game in the playoffs by 19 points. Then they won by 10 on the road. Last week by 3 in overtime. And if that trend continues, they don't have much room to spare in that final three-point range that is certainly on the side of winning this game. But trailing by 7 at this point, 16-9. Verhagen still down on special teams with 10:58 to play in this fourth quarter. And the Lute offense will come up to the line from the 20-yard line is where they now mark it. I thought Elston was around the 19. So the Lutes will take it on the 20. Not the best field position in the world, but certainly not deep in their own end. And quarterback Jeff Yarnell has faced this before. And now Verhagen is being dragged off the field. We've seen a lot of injuries today, Steve, here on this dome turf, as AstroTurf often causes a number of injuries, though I'm not sure at this point I can attribute it to that, though many say that the AstroTurf is very difficult to play on injury-wise as opposed to natural grass. The Lutes come up, and they send a double slot formation to the left side angle. Krebs, the fullback, is out there. And the only man in the backfield is Pat Dorsey. Now Napier comes in motion. And Yarnell is set from the 20-yard line. A pitch to Dorsey on the short side. 25-yard line. Hops over almost a first down to the 30. Nice little hop, skip, and a jump by Pat Dorsey to pick up 9 yards and maybe a little bit more than that, as they ran strong formation to the left side and they went to the short side with Dorsey. And he got a lot of that on his own, though he had a good lead block there on that right side as the Lutes got it out offensively. John Skibble leading the charge.
That it was, just going to bring up his name, pulled from his right tackle position and got an excellent block for Dorsey.
10:28 to play. It's not a first down. It's about a half yard shy. So the Lutes
from their own 29-and-a-half-yard line, a second down and a half-yard to go. To the left side, Miller split out. Napier slot to the left. Jared Sen is into the game, and Yarnell back to pass. He's got to get rid of it. He does. It's a little screen pass to Krebs. He's got enough for a first down to the 32-yard line. Boy, that could have been a big loss, Steve, as Yarnell got a lot of pressure up the middle as Jay Downey, who's been meeting Yarnell, the sophomore, all day long, and Downey was after him again, and Yarnell luckily found a check off to Eric Krebs, and he got enough for a first down on a little 3-yard pickup.
Well, I'll tell you, Yarnell held onto that ball until the last possible moment. And once again, it's just a sense. He's so experienced. He knows what's going on back there, and he knows what he's doing. And you just see the guy closing in on him, but he gets rid of it just in time.
We are under 10 minutes now. Lutz with a first and 10 from their own 33-yard line. Yarnell working off a left hash mark and tight end to the left side. Welk split out to the right. Yarnell to throw. Downey after him. He throws it over the middle, complete to Mike Welk. Boy, Welk there again, the freshman, a little 6-yard pickup to the 44-yard line. And how many receptions he got today now, Steve? You've got him with 9. That for the season gives him now, I believe, the record. As Welk came into the game today with 52. He's got 61. He is the all-time leader for receptions for POU football in a given season, breaking Randy Hamlin's mark by 2 receptions, which he set back in 1983. But I'm sure Mike Welk has that furthest from his mind now as the Lutes have a second down and 4 situation from their own 34-yard line and 9 minutes to play in this fourth quarter, trailing by a touchdown. Yarnell hands it off to Dorsey. He spins. He's across the 40-yard line to the 41, but a big third down and 2 to go now as the Lutes need to get to the 43-yard line.
Head coach Frosty Westring over on the far sidelines yelling something and rather adamantly is trying to get his point across. And settled down now as Jeff Yarnell steps into the huddle for the Lutes with 8:40 remaining, the clock ticking away.
Welk with 11 catches today. The NAIA record, I believe, is 14 for a playoff game. Got a couple numbers here. 8:37 to play in the game, and now the Lutes are going to re-huddle. I'm not sure what that was all about, but PLU came out of the line of scrimmage and now goes back to the huddle as Frosty Westering still barking out signals from the sideline. And now I think he's talking to his team rather than one of the officials. 16-9, Wisconsin Stevens Point in front of the Lutes as we are coming down the stretch drive. Wisconsin Stevens Point, which got into this game with victories over Westmar of Iowa and St. Ambrose of Iowa, and last week a 23-point win over Geneva of Pennsylvania. The Lutes, of course, beating Midland Lutheran in round 1, Carroll, Montana in round 2, and last week in overtime turning back second-ranked Baker of Kansas. The officials are sorting something out. I'm not sure if someone hadn't called a timeout because the teams would be to the benches. So an official timeout here to sort something out, and I'm not sure what it's about, but we should be underway here shortly as the official going over to explain to both sides now exactly what is up as to why they have slowed play here with 8:37 to play in the fourth quarter. POU football and KGAC brought to you in part by Parkland Travel, serving the Parkland and Tacoma area since 1979. Located at 12816 Pacific Avenue, open every day but Sunday. That's today. Make holiday plans at Parkland Travel. Good people at Parkland Travel probably watching the game today as Jeff Yarnell comes up on a third down and 2 yards to go from his own 41-yard line. Quick pitch. He gives it to Dorsey. He's not going to get it. He's snuffed down to the 41-yard line. Boy, the Lutes went for it on third down to try to go with a quick pitch to the left, and they didn't get enough for a first down. No flags are down, and the Pointers have held with 8 minutes to play now, and we'll see what the Lutes do. If they go for it here, they've got to get it because they're on their own 41-yard line, and apparently they're going to go for it.
It looks to be just about 2.5 feet that they have to pick up, a little less than a yard.
Well, this is it. The crowd understands the gravity of this situation as Yarnell with a full house backfield. Eric Krebs at the fullback, Dorsey and Napier at the halfback. Double tight end. And now movement on the left side. Dorsey gets the hand off, tries to cut it back. First down, 45-yard line, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 50, get 5, touchdown! PLU on a 4th and 2, get 40-yard pickup, make it a 60-yard pickup. There are no lungs left in the Tacoma Dome today. And
I don't believe it.
It's a penalty against Wisconsin Stevens Point. 7:19 to play. The Lutes are a point from tying this game up.
You could just feel the fans just hanging on their seats for a moment there as they saw the flag on the field. The official came forward and somebody was offsides on the Pointers. And what a tremendous run by Dorsey.
His second of the day, Steve.
His second of the day. They would have got the first down no matter what because of the penalty that was on the play, but Dorsey got ran way back deep into his own backfield, cut it back inside, stepped out of a tackle, and was on his way.
It was encroachment against Wisconsin Stevens Point. Coldham for a tie-in extra point now. Yarnell to put it down. It's down. The kick is up. Nearly blocked, but he got it through. Boy, they got penetration up the middle, but Coldham puts it through. I'm going to get something to drink. We're back in 30 seconds. 7:19 to play, fourth quarter. It's hang-on time. POU 16, Wisconsin Stevens Point 16.
$207 on the roast, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay tuned. We'll have film at 11. Or maybe we won't.
Oh, he just ran into his own videotaper.
And with the 185 seconds, we're through.
Woo! How do you feel now? Tired.
Dell's grocery total nearly set a new food frenzy record.
$1,184.69 in food frenzy number 7.
Register to win your own super food frenzy at the 7-Up display at Mega Foods. And then cart home the groceries with 7-Up, Mega Foods, and 85 KTAC.
The Tacoma Dome is the scene. 7:19 to play. Fourth quarter, a 16-16 tie. The Lutes go 80 yards in 3:39 and 7 plays. Pat Dorsey, a 60-yard run from scrimmage on a fourth down and 2, and a gutsy call by Frosty Westring, and the Lutes' extra point is good by Eric Coldham, and now the Lutes have tied it up at 16-all, and Coldham to kick off from the 40-yard line. So apparently a penalty on the extra point against Wisconsin Stevens Point, and see if Coldham can slam it through the end zone here as the Lutes have been fired up defensively. Coldham approaches the ball, kicks it deep with the extra 5 yards. It takes Kenny to his own goal line. But Atron comes out of the 5, the 10, 15, still up, 20-yard line, steps out of bounds. So it's the same thing as having kicked it through the end zone. And Steve, we've talked so often about the pendulum of momentum, and it seems right now to be swinging in the Lutes' favor, but this Wisconsin team hasn't lost in 9 weeks. And the pointers come out on offense now.
Well, the pointers aren't going to go down easy, that's for sure. If you're a Lute fan, you got to like that you've been in this situation before. The players know what this feeling's like to come back from behind, to be late in the game, and to have the game hanging in the balance. Wisconsin has won all their games by big scores, although they have run it up in the fourth quarter, but still, I don't think they've been this close since the beginning of the season.
Despite the fact this has happened before, it never becomes old hat. At least for me, as the Lutes in another big play. Baumgartner fumbles a snap. Lutes after it. A wild pile up 17-yard line. And POU has the football. I don't know who came up with it. The Lutes have it. John Crawl
came up with it. And Baumgartner just mishandled the snap. It dropped right underneath him. Took an odd spin and went in between his leg behind him. And he couldn't find the handle. And there's a couple people diving for the ball along with Baumgartner from the pointers, and Crawl just came in from behind and got his hand out there and sucked it up underneath him. He was going to give it up for the world.
Lutes, 7:08 to play, fourth quarter. Yarnell comes running into the game, and the Lutes in this game in a 16-16 tie break from the huddle and have an opportunity now to try to punch it into the end zone and take the lead. They haven't tasted the lead since the first quarter.
This crowd firing up on both sides still. Yarnell into the game, the ball at the 18 is Stevens Point. Yarnell gets sacked from behind, fumbles the ball, and the pointers recover at the 29. About being fair play. Yarnell got popped blindside, fumbled the football, and we're back to square one. The pointers have it on the 29 of Wisconsin.
Yarnell didn't have time to really sense anybody. He just got set up, and he got popped from behind. Still had the ball down on his hip, more or less. There's no way you could tell that he had pressure from behind, and no Lutes around the ball to have a chance at recovering it. There were three white-shirted pointers right there.
Well, the pendulum doesn't know where it's going right now. 7:02 to play. Wisconsin Stevens Point comes up, and sophomore quarterback Kurt Baumgartner, a reprieve in a matter of seconds. He takes the snap on shotgun, looks the pass, wheeling out to the left, throws it. It's caught. Is it inbounds? Yes, at the 45-yard line, Theo Blanco. Brilliant catch by Blanco. The ball was high, and he straddled the sideline but came down with both feet in. 6:55. The clock will start again after they move the chains.
Blanco coming in, averaging just under 10 catches a game. He now has 4 catches for 62 yards.
If I didn't know better, I'd say Frosty and DJ got together before the game and said, let's give the fans a thrill in the late fourth quarter. Let's fumble it back and forth. I doubt if that happened, but it almost looked scripted. Back is Baumgartner in shotgun again. Rolls to the right side angle. The sophomore quarterback, a flag is down. Angles it out. He's got Blanco 45, a PLU 40-yard line. But a flag is down on that right side. And we'll see what that's about. 6:47 to play and see whether the play will go for a first down in PLU territory or it'll be brought back as the officials say false start, Stevens Point. That'll bring it back.
Once again, penalties killing both teams for Stevens Point unofficially now. That's their ninth penalty in this game. PLU has eight. And that one really hurts because they got momentum going. The Pointers do after the fumble recovery once again, and they pick up big yardage and move into loop territory, and then it's backed up to their own 40-yard line once again.
Officially, John Stackestead shows me. Pointers penalized nine times for 70 yards. Lutes penalized eight times for 65 yards. The ball back to the Pointer 40-yard line. It's a first and 15 for Kirk Baumgartner and company. He's got an 870 winning percentage and a starting role for this team over two seasons. Jeff Yarnell with an 865 winning percentage over his starting role the last four seasons. And Baumgartner in shotgun formation back to his own 34-yard line. Sends a man in motion, Blanco. And a blitz comes out, and Baumgartner gets rid of it incomplete over the middle. Boy, they had decapitation going from both sides. John Wolf from defensive end, and good help from the blitzing Scott Squires.
Wolf, Tui Asasopo, and Kroll all lined up tight. Almost looked like they were all right up, bunched around the center. And they just came in from everywhere, especially up the middle. And John Wolf introduced himself to Baumgartner in a rather rude way that time.
6:44 to play, fourth quarter, second and 15 facing the Pointers. A 16-16 tie. If you just joined us, the Lutes jumped out to a 6-0 lead. Then they fell behind 16-6. They've come back to tie it up here in the fourth quarter. And now a third and 15 for Baumgartner. He's in shotgun. The line of scrimmage is the 40-yard line. He stands on his 34, and he's back to pass. Here comes Squire, smothers him again. His pass is incomplete. Oh, he almost had Atron Cheney at the 30 of PLU, and Mike Cheney reached in and slapped it away. And Cheney, of course, filling in for the senior Sean Langston, has had his hands full today, and for the most part, Steve, he's been admirable this afternoon.
He has. He has really played tremendously. He's been in a lot of one-on-one situations, and I got to be thinking Kurt Baumgartner's getting tired of seeing black-shirted jerseys in his backfield at that time. He just took another terrific hit from Scott Squires coming in from his linebacker position, laid Baumgartner out once again.
This is it right here. This is big. I'm going to say that a lot before we're done, but third and 15 from the 40-yard line of Stevens Point. Big play here. Baumgartner in shotgun. Back to pass. The Lutes play back in coverage a little bit, and he airs it out for Kenny. Deep downfield. He can't make the catch at the 10. It went right through his hands, and Kenny unable to come up with it. It would have been an over-the-shoulder grab, but Kenny had beaten both Sheeny and Mathiasen down to the 10, and it slipped right through his hands, as you could hear the crowd react, and it's fourth down, and Dan Toyne to punt it away.
That's one of the few times we have seen the defensive secondary truly beat for PLU, and we just get done talking about Cheney and his good job at that time. Atron Kenny definitely had the upper hand. He was way out in front.
Dan Toyne from his own 25-yard line set to punt it away. The Lutes play for the run back. Dan Toyne hangs it high, and the Lutes Mike Welk calls for a fair catch and takes it on the 32-yard line. Decent field position for PLU with 6 minutes and 25 seconds to play in the game. And who'd have thought after last week's game against Baker, Kansas, that the Lutes could give you cardiac arrest one more time if you survive that one. 6:25 to play in the game.
And who would have thought it would have been knotted up at 16? I think everybody was thinking
maybe 50-50.
50-50 at 34 points or so we were looking at coming into this game as winning it. Now it looks like 19 could win it.
Yarnell comes up first and 10, middle of the field. He's been here before. Stays in with tight end to the left side, Miller. Welk split out of the right side, and Yarnell back to pass on first down. Overthrows everybody. Overthrew Welk right in front of the Stevens Point sideline. 6:21 to play. It's second down and 10 now as the clock stops with the incomplete pass. And Yarnell going right to the air here. And, of course, this is a clutch possession. The Lutes not in the world's best field position, the 32-yard line, in that if they go three plays and out without moving the ball, Mathiasen's punt will probably leave Wisconsin-Stevens Point in good field position as well.
That it would, and if Stevens Point were to run any time off the clock with a score, that would leave PLU very little time to come back.
Bomar over the ball at center. Flat to the left side. Double old slot. They've got Napier along with Dorsey. Back to pass is Yarnell. They pick up the rush, but then finally Downey brings him down at the 26-yard line. Boy, what a game that has been had by Jay Downey, the sophomore right end. He hits Yarnell again. The Lutes moved him off well, but Yarnell couldn't find anybody open, and he's only got a limited time allotment to get rid of the ball. He didn't do it, and back to the 26, he sacked. Third down, 15.
Yarnell that time had the ball up, ready to pass, and at the last moment, tucked it under, and he just hung on for dear life on that ball. He took a terrific hit, knew he was going to take a pound, but didn't give up the ball.
Yarnell looks over the situation, still middle of the field. Napier goes in motion, and Yarnell on a straight drop back gets a heavy rush, has to get rid of it. Little screen pass is incomplete to Krebs. Krebs tried to run with it before he caught it. It was well behind the line of scrimmage and probably wouldn't have gone for a first down because Krebs would have either been tackled or run out of bounds. But now Mathiasen, with the Lutes having lost 6 yards on this possession, has to come onto the field and punt it away with 5:33 to play.
It's going to be very disappointing for the Lutes, that ideal situation to really drive the ball, eat up some time, and get a score, and now they got to bring their defense back. It'd be interesting to see if the Pointers come after the punt and try and block it. I would think they would peel back and try and set up a return and get their offense good field position.
Theo Blanco stands on his own 35-yard line, and he will be the one to run it back here momentarily. But right now they're attending to John Bouchard, the middle linebacker, who was a little shaken up on that last play. He now comes out of the game under his own power. The specialty teams are on. Craig Mathiasen, who has a 35.5-yard per punt average, stands on his own 10-yard line, the line of scrimmage being the 26-yard line. So you figure Wisconsin-Stevens Point, given the averages here, is going to have good field position to start this drive with 5:33 to play in a 16-16 tie. This all for the national championship. Mathiasen takes the snap and punts it. It's a wobbly kick, but it's going to take a PLU bounce at the 40 of Wisconsin, down to the 35 and out of bounds at the 32.5. So Steve, actually worked out as well as it could have. No run back for Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Good hang time and toward the sideline, so the Pointers from their own 32.
Couldn't have worked out any better. You get it out of bounds, you get it away from a very dangerous kick returner, and now it's the defensive turn to come out and really put down the screws on this offense of the Pointers.
The Lutes have not allowed Wisconsin to move very far the last five possessions. Four punts and a fumble after 4-3-3-1-5 plays. None of that 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 play drives so far of late, as we saw earlier in the game. But Kirk Baumgartner at quarterback comes up, the sophomore trying to lead his troops. He hands it off to Blanco, who runs right in to John Krall and brought down to the 34-yard line, gain of a yard. Krall just plugged that hole right there. If he wasn't there, Blanco could have had good running room, as we've seen before on that little flanker handoff. But nothing doing there, as Krall right there to plug up the hole.
You don't play the run any better than that. He just fended off his defender and stepped into the hole, gathered himself, and actually Blanco was running to the side of him, but Krall got an arm out there and wrapped him up next to his body and brought him down.
Again, a reminder, it's 16-16. There will be no overtime. They'll be co-champions if they end in a tie. Baumgartner in shotgun formation. He's back to pass to the 25. Gets a rush. He's going to be brought down. Smothered at the 30. It's Wolf. It's Elston who made initial contact. And it's Krall who put the polish on and now helps Baumgartner up. Gives him a pat on the seat of the pants and goes back to the huddle. 4:30 to play. Baumgartner loses four. It's third down and 13.
They all got a piece of him that time. Baumgartner, although he's up on his feet quite a bit for all the pounding he took right there, he never had a chance really to look downfield and gather himself. He just always had somebody's hand and arm around him, and finally they brought him down.
The ball on the 30-yard line of the Pointers. Kirk Baumgartner in shotgun formation stands back at his own 25-yard line. Third down and 12.5. Blanco goes in motion, and Baumgartner rolls out that way. Lutes trying to defense it. Over the middle, the pass incomplete. 48-yard line. He tried to go to the tight end, Don Mayling, and it wasn't there. Mayling dove for it. Actually, Blanco and Prince were there as well, but the intended receiver was Mayling, who after his first half heroics has been pretty much shut down. The punting unit comes on. We're down to 3:57, and again, there is no overtime. Steven, I imagine as this pendulum continues to swing that the Lutes have to feel a little bit of momentum going their way now that they've got a chance. But now two people deep to receive, and they've got nine up to try to pressure this kicker, play for the run back on a hot mailing, takes it, hits block partially, and goes out of bounds right in front of the Stevens Point sideline.
Keith
and the official's going to put it down. Well, let's see, 44 of Stevens Point. I think, was it Crasson?
It looked to be Keith Crasson once again, not for sure, but it looked like it was him. They came right up the middle, and how many times has he done that?
From the Stevens Point 44-yard line, the Lutes have a first and 10 with 3:52 to play. Official word it with Crasson.
Official word it with Crasson. Just conferred with John Stackerstead.
If anyone knows, it's John Stackerstead. 3:52 to play. Lutes from the Pointers 44-yard line. The crowd really on the edge now. Standing on both sides. Is on the far side, the Lutes team, the freshman Bombers, are in uniform, and the crowd standing in unison. Ready for Yarnell on a first and 10. They give it to Krebs. The fullback straight ahead into the pile, down to the 43-yard line. So important here, Steve. If the Lutes can run the ball, take some time off the clock, and get it down in field goal range, I imagine that's what they want. But if they can't run the ball effectively, as Krebs just picks up a yard and a half there, they're going to have to go to the air. And if they don't complete it, the clock will stop, and we're right back where we were.
That's right. And then with the passing game of the Pointers, I mean, they can score from anywhere on the field. I'm just wondering right now how many general fans in the stadium know that this game will end in a tie. There's going to be some awfully upset and disappointed people if that's the outcome.
I would hope that the PA announcer has made that announcement. Back to Pat Yarnell. Gets a lot of heat. Gets away. Tries to throw, but can't. Drop down. He is down at the 45 of PLU. He dropped the football after going down, but they don't rule it a fumble. And from the 45 of the Lutes now, they've got a big situation with a third down and 21 coming up. And what heavy pursuit coming after Jim Yarnell. And he is down right now. And Gary Nicholson, the head trainer, out attending to him.
That he is. Not sure what happened. He got hit just as he lost the ball. That's the officials ruled it right away that he was down, but there was a scramble for the ball, and Yarnell really didn't even try for the ball. He made a half-hearted effort, but he was definitely hurt when he got popped.
2:52 to play in the game. 16-16 tie in this fourth quarter. The Lutes trailed at 16-10 in the third quarter, but battled back to get this tie, and Yarnell still down. Of course, we saw Kirk Baumgartner go down as he came out for just one play, but somehow managed to come back. And right now, Jeff Yarnell is down. And Gary Nicholson attending to him right now.
You're listening to PLU Football on AM 85, KTAC, Tacoma.
Yarnell is up right now and headed off the field. 2:52 to play. He's going to come out of the game for at least one play, and he seems to be all right. I mean, he's walking off the field all right. The crowd gives him a resounding applause, but the pressure now falls to Craig Cupp with a third down and 21 situation from the Lutes' own 45-yard line. Yarnell had not been shaken up all season long, and with 2:45 to play in the fourth quarter of the national championship, he goes out for at least one play, and we don't know how much more than that. But Craig Cupp, the big 6'5 quarterback, comes in, and now he's going to try to have to do something with a third down and 21 situation. He's back to pass. Cupp stands up, gives a pump fake, and going long for Dorsey. Pat can't make the catch at the 15. Boy, Cupp can really air it out. And it was just over the shoulder of Pat Dorsey with 2:24 to play.
Boy, he threw that so effortlessly. He set up on his own 35-yard line, and the ball finally lands at the 10-yard line. And he just aired it out, a nice effort that time. Cupp to come in just cold like that and let her go.
Craig Mathiasen onto the field, 2:24 to play. Told the PA announcer a moment ago that there would be no overtime, and to probably announce that, as you mentioned, Steve, the crowd probably thinks there would be, but Mathiasen on his own 30-yard line to punt it away. He steps forward, gets a big boot, and it is taken a fair catch called by Blanco from his own 24-yard line with 2:17 left. And now the Pointers, who hold defensively in a very tight situation, have the opportunity, their fifth possession in this fourth quarter, as the possession duration has been much shorter now than it was early in the game.
And Stevens Point has two timeouts remaining as the ball is placed down at the 24. PLU has one timeout if that becomes a factor.
If the Lute defense can hold here, of course, They may have one more shot with a final heroics and a long Eric Holden field goal, but the most important thing is not to give up the big plays there to Stevens Point, as Baumgartner is in shotgun formation. He's got Majors in the backfield as the fullback, but Baumgartner takes the pitch, and he's going back to pass, and he throws it on the right side to Blanco. It's incomplete. Mike O'Donnell lowered the boom on him at the 30-yard line, and Blanco couldn't hold on. 2:12 to play. That stops the clock. Second and 10.
That's one nice thing with the pointers when they're in a key situation. You know they're going to go to the pass, and with them passing, incomplete passes stop the clock, unlike running. And the PA announcer just announced that the game would end in a tie and got a chorus of boos.
That's to be expected, but that's been the NAIA standard for a long time, and it will remain in this one. There's been one tie since the 1970 year when this NAIA playoff football format began, and this would only be the second. It's a 16-all knotted-up game right now, and Baumgartner back to pass on second and 10. Elston after him throws it over the middle. It's complete to Majors. He looks for running room and brought down to the 34-yard line. He may be close to a first down. It'll be third down and one if he is not. 2 minutes now. Time still counting, and now the pointers. Well, no, the official calls a timeout for a measurement, as Majors may have gotten enough for a first down. They're going to have to measure for it. And interesting, Steve, if he didn't get it, you would think they would have to run for the first down before worrying about passing next.
That you would. From the placement of the ball, it looks like he does have the first down. Hard to tell. We thought we missed it on the first half with poor chain placement on the sidelines, but now they're going to stretch it out.
And we'll see. It's going to be close. He has it. First down at the 34-yard line. And the pointers keep this drive alive, and the clock will restart. We're at a minute 59 now. The Lutes and pointers tied at 16-all. That's a big first down for the pointers. And now the Lutes will try to hold defensively. They need a big play to come up with the football, but they've also got to worry about their secondary and keep the pointers from moving too far in PLU territory and getting in range for a final field goal. It looked bleak for the pointers a moment ago when the Lutes had great field position, but right now the pointers held defensively, and Cranston after Baumgartner. He throws right side to Blanco, 45-yard line, 50, steps out of bounds at the PLU 45. They mark him out of the 47. A minute 37 to play in the fourth quarter. And Baumgartner, just a sophomore, but so poised as he goes to that right side. And the Lute offense huddling around Frosty Westgreen on the bench, hoping to get the ball one more time to try to put something together. A minute 37 to play in the fourth quarter.
They're definitely going to need a turnover if they expect to get the ball back with that first down. And try to kind of wonder, when are they going to take that last time out? They'll probably use it on defense the way things are going.
A minute 37 to play. Clock is stopped as Blanco went out of bounds on that pass play. Now Baumgartner rolling out to the left side. Steps up in the pocket. Throws. It is caught right at the 31-yard line. An incredible catch right in front of Mike O'Donnell. Field. Blanco got it at the 31. He's out of bounds. Minute 31 to play and the clock stops. Boy, that was a tight rope back by Blanco.
Just a fine job that time. To keep your concentration on the ball and make sure you get the feet down in bounds, tough to do. Blanco was up to the task. He's closing in on his 10 catch per game average. He now has 7 catches for 96 yards.
The longest field goal kicked this year by a pointer is 45 yards. That would be from the 27-yard line. Right now, the ball at the 31. And Baumgartner in shotgun formation. He rolls out to the right side. Got good blocking there. He may try to tuck it away. No, he throws it. It is caught at the 15-yard line. Brought out of bounds. Boy, they went to the tight end, Don Mayling. And he got inside. O'Donnell made the catch down to the 10-yard line. A minute 24 to play now. They're in certainly good field position. The pointers had the ball on the Lute 10-yard line. They're just outside the 10. They can get a first down without getting a touchdown. A minute 24 to play in the fourth quarter and a 16-16 deadlock. Pointers come up. First and 10 from the Lute 11-yard line. Baumgartner has really orchestrated a wonderful drive here, trying to get his pointers into the end zone or put some points on the board. He rolls out to the left side. He's getting pressure from Elston. He's going to throw it in the end zone, and he throws it away with a minute 18. Sixth play of this drive on that one, seventh coming up, and the pointers certainly in field goal range. Interesting, when you look at the field goal kickers, Joe Parrish, 5 of 12 field goal kicking this season. Kevin Dietz, 6 of 9.
Who do you bring in? If it comes down to that, I'm sure it will be a big question for Leroy, the head coach. And I'm sure he's discussing that on the sideline. Bumgarner rolling out a lot on this series, buying himself some time. That time, Elston still got the pressure on him, forced him to throw the ball way out of bounds. They're going to have to do that again as they come up in a shotgun formation.
The ball on the 11-yard line at PLU. It's 2nd and 10. Luke's trying to keep the pointers out of the end zone, make them try the field goal for the win. Bumgarner in shotgun formation. Comes up. It's a quarterback draw. It doesn't work all that well if Elston stacks him up. I think the point, though, Steve, was to keep the clock running, and it's down to a minute 10 and now a minute 9 and counting. It'll be interesting to see when the Lutes use a timeout, if in fact they do. 7th play of the drive. It started on the pointer's own 24-yard line, and it's gone down to the PLU 12-yard line. Look, 54 seconds and counting.
Looks like the pointers are definitely playing for the field goal right now, as Bumgarner just taking all the time in the world getting his crew up to the line of scrimmage.
He may just run it again, and now he calls a timeout as Baumgartner wants to talk about it. We'll take this break. 42 seconds to play, 4th quarter. It's PLU 16, Wisconsin, Stevens Point 16. Sterling, Steve Fisher back at the Tacoma Dome. 42 seconds remain in this 4th quarter. There will be no overtime, even if the teams are tied at the end of regulation. It's a 16-all deadlock, and on the 11-yard line are the Wisconsin-Stevens Point pointers, the 11-yard line of PLU, and it's a 3rd down and 11, and the pointers are trying to just work some time off the clock, though a little mix-up. They called timeout. Their sophomore quarterback, Kirk Baumgartner, who's been steady today, came over to talk to head coach DJ Leroy as to what they wanted to do, and now it looks like, Steve, they're going to hold for that last field goal, and they don't want to do anything silly like throw an interception here, and I imagine that they feel they're in field goal range and they're ready to either settle for the tie or win it with a field goal, and we'll be able to live with both those options.
And it looks as if Joe Parrish will kick the field goal if indeed they do go to it, which seems evident by now. Parrish down, kind of standing by himself with key in hand, just pacing back and forth.
The Lutes lost the national title in 83 and 85. They're trying to win, or at least tie, for their first national title played here in the Tacoma Dome. Of course, they won it all 8 years ago in 1980. And Baumgartner's going to throw it. Wheeling out to the left, throws in the end zone, incomplete. 4th down, and we're down to this. But the point is that 37 seconds remain, and the Lutes still have an opportunity, even if this field goal is good. And if it's not, of course, then the Lutes will be deep in their own end, and we'll see what happens there. But on the field, with his kicking tee in hand, is Joe Parrish, who today missed an extra point to start, or I think that was Kevin Dietz who missed the extra point. Parrish in the game, 5 of 12 on field goal opportunities this season, and he will place his tee down on the right hash mark at the 17-yard line. Punter Dan Dantoin will hold. It'll be a 27-yard field goal attempt, as this could be your ball game for the national title. The Lutes are all on the line, trying to block it. The special team trying to come through once again. The spot is down. The kick is blocked. It's blocked. Tuyas Asopo has it. The Lutes, 30-yard line. Mathias, the 35. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Oh, who would have thought? I'm not sure who got this.
Mike Tuyas Asopo, who was carried off the field in the first half, has come back. And Ralph Weekly, who we talked to on the coaches show, and as his special teams come through.
And the Lutes still have one timeout, and that looms large. I thought for sure the pointers would run on that 3rd down situation, but they didn't. They opted to pass. That stopped the clock. PLU didn't have to call a timeout. They have 29 seconds. The ball on their own 34-yard line, and one timeout remaining.
The ball on the 34, the Lutes. This is it. I don't know. Is Yarnell in the game? He came out moments ago. Craig Cupp is in. Apparently Yarnell unable to go, and Cupp under the gun. A chance to lead the Lutes down for perhaps one last field goal try, but the Lutes don't want to make any big mistakes here. Cupp rolling back to pass. The 6'4 quarterback's going to keep it. He's going to go to the sideline. Gives a juke move. Gets to the sideline out of bounds at the 37-yard line. He picks up only 3 yards and it cost him 7 seconds. The Lutes need to get it at the 35 or inside of that for Coldham. That would be 52-yard range. But On special teams, the pointers have been so tough getting through to Lute kick attempts. And Coldham tried one from 52 earlier and came up a bit short. But he's got an opportunity now, if the Lutes can give him that chance and get it down there at the 35 or inside, to win this game in the final 22 seconds. Otherwise, we'll have co-champions. It wasn't until the moment the ball was snapped, Steve, that I thought the Lutes may block this. The crowd really into this one now. Cup at quarterback, the inexperienced, and he pitches it now to Dorsey on the right side. 40-yard line, Pat, 45, cuts it upfield, 50. Lutes can call a timeout. Will they got to move the chains? 50-yard line is where the ball is. It's a first down, 15 seconds remain. The Lutes are going to have to hurry up to the line, and Cup will throw it out of bounds. Defensively, Wisconsin Stevens Point is set. They get the chains ready right at the 50-yard line. It's Pat Dorsey, certainly the offensive player of the game. If he's going to be announced that later, we'll find out. Cup looks, throws out of bounds. 9 seconds. Boy, that cost the Lutes a lot of time. And that one timeout that they're saving, perhaps they could have used.
Really could have. Boy,
they need a 15-yard completion
to give
Eric Coldham a chance.
That they do, and it's got to be something right down the middle. An out pattern may take too long. They just got to get it quick down the middle, and of course, I'm sure they'd like to keep the ball into the middle of the field, so it gives Coldham the best angle as possible.
And the problem is that they've got Cup in there, who certainly is the heir apparent to Jeff Yarnell, it would seem, but he hasn't played much this year, and they can't call a timeout to call a big play because they have to save it in case they throw it over the middle and the clock's running. Cup now, second and 10. Back to pass. This is it. The season on the line. Cup throws. Complete well. 35. 3 seconds. Out of bounds. 33-yard line. It hits. Mike Welk gets the completion at the 33. And number 2, Eric Coldham, is on the field.
Welk using his head that time. He caught the ball and got out of bounds as quickly as possible. Jeff Crane Cup, all the credit in the world. He comes into the toughest situation you can face. He stands in there like a veteran and puts it right on the money.
And Mike Welk, who's already set a season record for catches in one season for PLU. This is it, your last play of the game. Everybody standing. Yarnell into hold from the 41. A 51-yard field goal attempt. It's kicked by Coldham. It's wide left. It's no good. And it ends in the kissing sister of a tie.
Boy, what do you say? Jeff Yarnell out there was just almost in disbelief.
I don't know, Steve, before the game, when we found out that if it ended in a tie, it was going to stay like that, there would be no overtime, I thought, what an awful way to end a season. And yet, when you look at how these two teams played today, and how the cliched expression of, oh, it's too bad, somebody's got to lose, when you finally get to a point where it's true, nobody has to, then people snicker. But looking at the teams down below, perhaps it's fitting they are co-champions at a 16-16 tie in the national title game.
Certainly a game where, win or lose, if Coldham is to hit that field goal right there at the end, certainly a game you go away with saying both teams, you know, showed tremendous effort and both deserve the title, and they'll both get it.
They will. It'll be co-champions in 1987, the first time it's happened in over a decade, as in the middle 70s it happened one time, but only twice in the history of the NAIA playoffs since its inception in 1970 has a tie occurred, and the NAIA is standing by that ruling, saying if it ends in a tie, it will remain that, and we'll have co-champions. And the teams down in the field right now shaking hands. There'll be a gathering around the midfield. Everybody's got to be exhausted. You can talk about so many factors that came into this game for the Lutes. The fact that John Wolfe and John Kroll were in their defensive end playing as much as they could, as hard as they could, after sitting out these playoff games with injuries, and they finally get ready in the season finale and certainly contribute not only on the field but certainly in spirit for their teammates to see them out there working against their injuries. We're going to take a 2-minute timeout. We'll be back with post-game activities, rundown of the big plays, and all the scoring in this, the season finale, as PLU and Wisconsin Stevens Point battle to a tie. We're back in 2 minutes. Final score, NAIA Division II National Championship, PLU 16, Wisconsin Stevens Point 16.